Call the City of Franklin Committee of the Whole to order. Madam Clerk, will you please take the roll?
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderman Skarzki.
Here.
Please rise, join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. How many people know that there's a national basketball game on tonight? A few, everybody. We're going to, Committee of the Whole is first item on the agenda is business item A, resolution for adoption of the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan 2025 for the City of Franklin, Milwaukee County. My recollection is this was tabled from a previous meeting to this meeting so that there could be a little bit more input into it. So with that, I'm going to ask Mr. Deedle. Deedle, have you had a chance of meeting with, I don't know, members of the council or interested parties or whoever and got more information on this?
The only written comments we received were from Alderman Wilhelm, and that attachment is included. There's a separate attachment that lists what staff believes are the minor technical changes that Alderman Wilhelm presented to us. And there is, in the Common Council Action Sheet, a couple bulleted items which staff believe were more substantive, more major implications. And those changes were kept separately. Those were also presented by Alderman Wilhelm. Staff is not asking for action on those items at this time, but for the minor technical changes, staff would recommend making those changes and approving the plan.
The minor changes?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll open it up. Anyone? Alderman Olson?
Well, I'll continue to voice my case on Section 8. I believe it's not complete. Mr. Mayor, you set up a committee a while back that was to look at this issue.
I got to get to Section 8. I can't.
Section 8 is...
Section 8, so. Section 8 in the Army is...
Chapter 8.
Fits right in.
Hey, listen, I didn't number these things, all right?
But this is the section dealing with the community center.
It
defines $10 million plus another million for land acquisition. And it outlines closet size and number of chairs and all kinds of issues where we've never even done our needs analysis. So I would urge the council to, I don't have an issue with much of the rest of the document, but to pass it with that section in there, I think is a little premature.
Okay. Just to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the committee that I had put together to take a look at, a task force to look at a community center had met for, I don't know, probably a couple of years, something like that. And then it was decided that because of the economic conditions at the time to suspend the actions of that committee until economic conditions get better or whatever, but I think, Alderman, you raised at one of those meetings, if not several, that there's never been a decision whether to use impact fees for this or to make any decision whether we should build a community center or not. So that's pretty much what we're doing. Okay. Anything else? Alderman Solomon?
I think Section 8 should stay there. It was on the original plan. Obviously, a lot of the plan is stargazing and trying to anticipate the needs of the future community. And as we move forward, that item has been discussed at length by numerous individuals, numerous constituents, as to how we can better the community. Obviously, right now, with the fiscal constraints that we're under, this probably isn't going to happen for 10 more years. But this is a 2025 plan. So as we move forward and future councils have a chance to look at this document and say, okay, somebody had some foresight to put some of this together and at least mention it as we move forward. In today's environment, obviously it's not going to happen soon. There's predictions out there that the housing market won't turn around until about 2015. So until we get to back into a groove of expansion, we're going to have to tighten our belts and forego some of these things in the park plan.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I did, as part of my recommendations in Chapter 9, ask that an example sentence that I gave was that the estimate, these are only estimates and they're not valid and until approved by the council, and I don't have it exactly in front of me right now what he actually put in there, but that would sort of say the same thing that you just said, and it's included in the document, so we're not saying we're going to jump right in and do this right away. That was the purpose of that sentence.
Anyone else? So, any other council members? Mr. Dilo, do you have a recommended motion? Yeah. Oh, when we get to the council, you're right. I'm sorry. Anything else? Alderman Solomon.
I would make a motion to approve the plan as disseminated to us on our March 1st meeting. And
when we get to the council?
When we get to the council.
Okay.
And also include any minor changes. I see there are some minor changes. I take exception with some of the changes that were made, but I would agree with the minor changes as far as some of the stuff like set forth, change the described, and things like that. Just it doesn't change the document, doesn't change the intent of the document, so I will make that motion when we go back into the council.
Just on it, because this council has worked for several years, three for sure, on the comprehensive master plan and was successful in getting that document through, which was a $240,000 expense. And
it came in under budget.
It came under, that's right. You always remind me of that. Good job. But I just wanted to compliment the council on the matter of what may take place tomorrow, that I believe this council has acted really in a very, very civil manner, especially in comparison to some of the previous councils that we had here. And I think that the council, no matter, again, how things may turn out, will be very, very proud of what it has accomplished in its last 3 years or so. And it's been it's really been a privilege working with all of you. So, yes, Alderman Olson.
I'm a lot less grumpy than he is.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, at the council meeting, I'm going to, between now and then, think of some alternate language for the entirety of Section 8 that will still acknowledge the need for a community center, but not outline specifics in terms of closet height, width, and number of chairs and tables.
All right. Mr. Deedle?
I'll just say, if you would take a look at the last minor technical change in that separate attachment, maybe you could work off of that somehow. So it talks about the common council's role in the whole decision-making process, and that we're not trying to jump the gun.
That relates to Chapter 9.
Yep, but I mean, use that language and then place it in Chapter 8 and revise it as necessary.
All right, seeing no other recommendations, again, is there a motion to adjourn?
So move.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I'm now going to call the City of Franklin's Common Council meeting to order. I'm going to ask Madam Clerk to please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Olson?
Here.
Alderman Solomon?
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderman Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Schmidt?
Here.
Alderman Skaronski?
Here.
Will you please rise, join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With that, we turn to the citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir.
You said you were in a hurry to get home. Is this my call?
No.
No, and I know you know the routine, but could we please have your name and address for the record?
I forgot it. No. Casper Green, 3519 West Forest, I just still not on?
Well, just one sec, they'll get it.
No, that's not. Well, I moved it the other direction anyway.
Oh, it's on.
Anyway, Casper Green, 3519 West Forest, Hill Avenue.
I got to back up a little bit.
You want me to back up a little?
Not a battery.
I always do as I'm told.
I know you can do old Danny Boy, great. So.
I always do as I'm told. I learned that from my wife. But nevertheless, I wanted to compliment the council, as Mayor Taylor did a few minutes ago. As you know, I frequently attend the council meetings. like the collegiality of this group. I think you've done a very good job with regards to getting along with each other. There's not a lot of nasty comments during the past year, and I would like to compliment you. Now, that is not taking anything away from your challengers, those of you who are up for re-election. If, say, one of you might happen to be defeated, I would encourage your replacement to come in and behave the same way that you have behaved, because it is so much more fun to attend these council meetings when everybody gets along. You don't have to disagree nasty. You can agree to disagree. And this is a nonpartisan job, as you all know. I don't have to remind you of that. And I would like to say that, in my opinion, almost all of you have acted during at least this past year in a nonpartisan way. That is good for the city. And so, Mayor Taylor, I think you've done a great job with regards to chairing these council meetings.
Thank you.
And I wish it would continue the way it has been. So good luck to all of you, along with your challengers.
Okay, thank you. How many of you here today are here on the force, the baseball issue? Okay. I think we'll try and... there's anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor and council members, somewhere in your agenda will be an issue regarding a claim for property taxes and the comparable. And the basic claim is it's an unlawful tax because the comparables weren't comparable. And what I'd just like to mention to you is that when I first met with the assessor, Mr. Link, he, after seeing the interior and exterior pictures of what he had said were comparable properties, he told me on the telephone that the properties were not comparable. I'm a realtor, he's an appraiser. Having proper comparables for that office to do its work is really critical. And I think most of the people here understand that. And fairness is the basis for pretty much the entire tax code, whether it's the municipality or the state of Wisconsin. It's predicated on being fair. I think when the assessor was made aware that the comparable properties were so wildly uncomparable, and I found an unwillingness to accept the fact that the assessor made a mistake, I'm of the opinion that this is going to the point of an abuse of power. And that power is the power for that person, who is a contract employee, putting a city in a position where it really is an abuse of power. I gave to the mayor, and I gave to that side of the room and that side of the room a handout, and basically that handout shows you that several properties within a block, two blocks of my home, when the assessor's computer was doing a search to find comparable properties, that computer searched 302 properties. And that's the gist of what's in front of you. When the assessor's search for this 1947 basementless house, built below grade and in very much the original condition, windows, electrical wiring, plumbing, and so on, was compared to homes built in 2002 and thereabouts, very interesting properties. But when he ran the search for comparable properties that turned up properties that weren't comparable, the computer looked at only 19 homes as samples for him to choose. And rather than just accept the fact that either he or a clerk or a computer made a mistake, he stuck to his guns, claiming that, you know, if those were comparable enough to use in the evaluation, and the 18% increase on my daughter's property. And thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking the time. All right, if there's no one else wishing to be at the citizens' comment period, I'm going to turn others. I was going to move directly to the force issue. Okay. So I'm going to close the citizens' comment period, and there was a request by Alderman Skaronski move to item G5. And that's a resolution. I'm sorry, not G5. It's where's the force issue? F2, letter from Franklin Force regarding scheduling maintenance of the baseball diamonds located south 80th Street, south of West Ryan Road. And we may have a request to suspend the regular order of business to allow some of the individuals representing the force to present their issues. But let me see if I can summarize where we are. We, as you know, we have two diamonds behind our DPW building. The Lions Club has, for many, many years, been maintaining the diamonds and scheduling those games that will be played there. I knew that the diamonds were being used, but I didn't know that they were being used to this extent. It's quite a workload out there. Make a long story short, there was an interest by the Little League in going out and looking at those same diamonds because their program had expanded. And so the city attorney and representatives from Little League were meeting to try and formalize a contract that we could bring in here. Well, it looks like there's been some sort of a downturn in enrollment, so the Little League was no longer interested. I asked, how many teams do we have that are out there? And we didn't know because Joe Hanrahan had done such an excellent job in taking care of it that he took care of all the paperwork. So I asked Steve Patz, superintendent of Franklin Public Schools, if he could look into the matter. And he was gracious enough to get Mr. Cloutier, who's here tonight, and the athletic director to meet with me and Jerry Schaefer to go over their schedules. And there's quite a few games, and it's getting actually practice has started on some of the fields already in other municipalities. Again, so we found that there was a keen interest in the school system continuing to have games over at those two diamonds. Good news is that the school district, Mr. Cloutier, you can stop me if I'm wrong, has agreed to continue to cut and to maintain the diamonds, which would include probably some markings of some of the games.
Our game.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we're also looking at, and we haven't quite resolved the issue of restrooms and things like that or concession stands, but... we got government for once, actually. We got a couple things done pretty quick in trying to get those items resolved. In the meantime, representatives from the force had contacted me. I was at a DARE program with Alderman Taylor and Alderman Skaronski, and we bumped into a gentleman in the back, and he said, "Hey, you know, I've got this group out there that has been using the diamonds, and we'd like to maybe see if we could start a relationship as to having maybe the force take over the maintenance and management of the fields, with the proviso that the school district would still have first priorities." Mr. Cloutier is nodding approval. And that we would try and fashion some sort of an agreement. There are a lot of people here tonight because I asked them to be here to show you that it's there's really quite an interest here in this. And While we don't have that agreement in front of you tonight, what I'd like to ask the council to do is to, after we have some more people that speak on this, is to move this item to the city attorney's office, where the city attorney, once we get him out from the 500 other things we've got him doing, can try and structure a overall agreement that would be that would compromise some sort of a lease agreement for a one-year period with extensions. And then the force leadership, the management, would manage the games for both the school district and for all the games that they have. Mike, I'm looking at you back there, and you're nodding. Why don't you come out? I'm talking to the president of the force. And
move to suspend regular order.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on that? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. That means that we're going to let you come up and speak.
Here.
Here or there. And maybe you could just state your name and address for the record and the number of people in your organization and how many games and how long you've been using it and kind of everything that we discussed at our meeting the other day.
My name is Dee Schultz. I'm a resident of Milwaukee, 3750 South 89th Street. I'm currently the board president and have been for the last two seasons. Prior to that, I was the vice president. Our club has been in effect and in force for 16 years. We've been using the Lions Park Diamonds for quite a few years going back, and Joe from the Lions Club was the gentleman that we worked with who did the scheduling. We've traditionally been behind the high school when they have season. We schedule our practices and our games after they're finished. We've grown from four teams to seven teams in the last 2 years, and we have an average of about 70 families who participate in our club. We travel. We are a member of the MMFL, which is the Milwaukee Metropolitan Fast Pitch League, and we travel primarily in the southeastern corner of the state. We could play anywhere from as far away as Exonia to Watertown to Burlington, Richfield. And primarily the reason that we travel as far as we do is because there is an issue in this area with home field advantage. There aren't a lot of fields for girls fast pitch. So we travel, and our seven teams travel. We also play tournaments, approximately five tournaments per team, which could travel anywhere from Minnesota to the Midwest, local. We advertise for our sponsors. Our sponsors are recognized by banners that we hang on all of our games and our tournament games. We do not conduct a tournament as a club because there is a space issue with that. You need diamonds and you need lights, something we don't have access to. I would say for the most part, you know, we're a family-run, family-based club. We do our own fundraising. We do a nine-pin tap in the month of February at the Root River Lanes. We do probably 70% of our funding right there besides our club fees that each player pays.
Revenue from the beer or the bowling?
Pardon me?
Does revenue come from the beer or the bowling?
Actually, we make a lot of revenue on auction items and raffles and things like that, too. The bowling does fund. We serve a meal and things like that. We solicit for sponsorship for that activity. You know, it's we have people who are interested in sponsoring us and having banners hung on the fences at that diamond, which right now is kind of a forlorn looking little bit of a field. For sponsorship dollars, we'll put up banners for people and advertise for local, you know, establishments, things like that.
Okay. Reason they're here tonight is because I asked them to come in, because as many of you that played softball or baseball over the years, you know that the practice season really started about two or three weeks ago, and so they need to get on with practice immediately, and wanted to get the permission of the council to move this forward so that they can go out and begin practice while we're still and the high school can still be working with the city attorney's office, working towards an overall agreement. In many respects, we've had a gentleman's agreement for 16-some years. It was our fields, but the Lions Club was managing it, and it seemed to be working very, very well. So with that, Alderman Olson, Alderman Skaronski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't mean to. I'll make a motion for Alderman Skaronski to refer this to the Parks Commission and the city attorney for development of a lease with the suggestion that lease model after the lease that the Little League has with the county. Unfortunately, I will tell you that that requires the Little League to be responsible for all of the facilities, restrooms, parking, et cetera. But I think that's only fair.
And in the interim, they be able to use the fields?
Yeah.
And the high school?
Yeah, I have no issue with the school.
Okay, that's part of the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
I'll second.
Right. Okay, thank you, Alderman Olson.
Is that your motion, Alderman?
That was very eloquently said, and I would
Let me see if I can get a second. Is there
second?
A second?
Very well done.
Been moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Skaronski.
No, I think it's the community really needs spaces like this for the children to play baseball. It's great. It's an activity that brings families together, and it's a good thing. We met and we sat down. They're totally understanding of the responsibilities. The Lions Club have done it for many years, and I wholeheartedly support this. And
Alderman
I hope Solomon. The rest of the aldermen will too.
Alderman Solomon?
I support it for a one-year trial. Parks has already hashed this around a little bit. The problem is these are city fields. They should be open to everybody. Now, I realize that this has gone to the high school first, and they get first choice at all of this stuff because of the history that is there. But the force has to also understand that if somebody else wants those diamonds, they have to be scheduled so somebody else can use them also. Because I can't have another group come over here and take Lions Legend Park Field and do the scheduling for that one. I can't have somebody do the Jack Workman Park and schedule that one. These fields are open to everybody, and whomever is doing the scheduling must understand that as we move forward in the document that the city attorney is going to work on.
We've modeled what we were going to do after what Joe had done for the Lions Club.
Okay, that's fine.
Only being that, you know, just so we're up front, but we know we schedule ourselves behind the high school. We were going to give our coaches the time period that they could schedule a weeknight practice and a weekend practice per team. And they had a period of time to schedule that, and we open everything up to whomever else is
that's
there.
That's what the Parks Commission would like to see. Thank
that's
you.
That's our
didn't you also, weren't you asking for future use of the concessions?
Yes. Okay. You know, what we're trying to do is we don't really have a basis for cost here. We are a nonprofit club, and we raise funds to operate our club. The unknown that we have is the cost that's going to be involved. We know that there are some community organizations who are willing to help us out. We still are in fact-finding mission to do that. The insurance I've already covered, we've taken care of that. It's there. If we're ready to go, the insurance for liabilities, their concessions, and in general, you know, usage of the fields for bystanders. Anybody who schedules with us to the MMFL is already insured and will be getting their certificates of insurance. I understand the high school has already got their certificate hung because they're already insured. So, you know, we've kind of looked forward to that. The concessions were going to be simplistic. You know, I've talked to Bill from the health department, who's been very gracious, helping me through that fact-finding mission and keeping ourselves open to any suggestions they might have to keep us within the guidelines.
Just a follow-up comment. If my Little League team wants to go practice there, I need to know who that person to contact to schedule it is. So that needs to be published at the city clerk's office so anybody can get a hold of this individual.
Absolutely.
Number two, it's a city park. And I'm practicing on a city park. I don't need insurance to practice on a city field. Now, you may have to have it for concessions, et cetera, but I don't have a... At any of the other city fields, we don't have teams with that are required to have insurance. That's my point.
Okay. You mean that it's a cost you don't have to incur?
I would check with the city attorney. You'll have to rule on that. But right now, if a Little League team wants to go to Jack Workman Park and practice or hold a game there or a scrimmage there, there isn't any insurance required.
Again, we modeled ourselves after the Lions Club.
Okay. Yeah.
And before we
and
get
maybe
the...
because of the facilities that are there, that they were utilizing.
Before we get the cart in front of the horse, this is interim period that it sounds like the council's saying, yeah, go ahead and go practice and school district move forward too.
Yeah.
But we don't have a contract in place yet, so all those details need to be worked out. Alderman Olson, Alderman Skronsky, Alderman Wilhelm, and Alderman Teal.
It's striking me that you're reinventing the wheel that's already been invented by the Little League. They went through all of this with the county, not with us, but with the county. So if you'd like some of us to help you get in touch with those people, I'm sure you know them all, but Dave Bartles and Tony Kreider, and I don't know who the current president is, but they'd be happy to help you with this. And you know, I don't see any, I don't get any major heartburn other than it's got to be available for other people too, and let's move forward.
Okay. Alderman Skronsky, Wilhelm, and then Alderman Taylor.
Yeah, I agree. You know, with the process, the roadmap was there with the Lions Club. Priorities, one is the high school gets it, they get it second. Whatever available dates are out there, they can schedule with them and fill them in. We want to see activity. We want to see the advantage of everybody using it. But because they're doing all the hard work and the uplifting and everything on it between the high school and them, of course, they get the priorities, what they need for their team and their schedule. And there's plenty of days that they can fill in. It's just a matter of coordinating with them in order to get it done. And I think that's very admirable of them to take on that task to get everything taken care of. So, again, that I think this is a very workable arrangement, and it's just a matter of getting the details from the city attorney.
Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Taylor.
Well, I think it's a great project. I will support it. I do have a question regarding what Alderman Solomon said about the insurance, because when we have the public grant process, that requires people to show insurance, and they're using city parks. So I guess when this is being researched, then that should be looked into. Because he's saying we don't need it, and the public grant that we make every other nonprofit do says you do. So I don't know how this falls in with that. And, I mean, I wouldn't object to, you know, what Alderman Solomon said about not needing it, but that's something the attorney should make sure we're covered under.
Okay. Alderman Taylor?
First, could you read back the motion, please?
Alderman Skronsky moved that a letter from Franklin Force regarding the scheduling and maintenance of the baseball diamonds located on South 80th Street south of West Ryan Road be referred to the Park Commission and the city attorney for the preparation of an agreement for the lease of the baseball diamonds, with the suggestion that the lease be modeled after the lease in effect between the Little League and Milwaukee County. Seconded by Alderman Olson.
And just so I'm clear, Alderman Olson, you brought up the fact about what they have to maintain. Did you say garbage and parking lot and restrooms and things like that? So then are you okay with that? Because in your letter, that's a part of the motion. Are you all right with that? Because in the letter I have here, it talks about that you asked the city to consider covering the cost of the garbage dumpster pickup on providing portable restrooms during the span of the season. I mean, is that okay that that's what's included in this motion?
If it must be.
Okay.
The parking lot phrase was meant because at one point we were in a meeting where it was mentioned that the city maintained the parking lot even under the Lions Club. So we just assumed that going forward that wouldn't have changed. The porta potties and the waste removal we knew was going to fall into some kind of, you know, place.
I don't know the contract of the Little League. Does the garbage pickup, do they get billed? Is that what happens? Or
city picks it up?
The Little League?
Yeah, I mean,
I believe that they contract that
separately.
So. Yeah.
And so who picks up the city car? Who picks up park garbage down in the park?
City.
City does. So
that's not the city park. It's a county park. Little League.
No, I'm talking about the city park here. City picks up the garbage, so that wouldn't really be a cost to them, because it's also the high school uses it and open to the public. So. All right.
Alderman Skronsky?
Yeah, all the arrangements that were in place with the Lions Club is going to continue on it with just a few extra things, because this is a private organization, and the Lions Club took on their responsibility. So it's just a continuation. You're changing the name, adding a few extra things to it. Cities takes care of their things. They're taking care of the parking lot. They're taking care of the garbage, porta-potties, things like that. Everything that's in place now, it just continues.
Alderman Olson, and then Alderman Schmidt.
I think the intention of Alderman Skronsky's Steve Olson motion was that because the nature of the force in having the primary responsibility, primary use, and pretty much the governance of that particular park, they in turn would also have to pick up the garbage and the porta potties because they would be the majority user of it. I don't think it's equitable for the citizens who don't take advantage of that particular park. We don't do have to pay for it. In addition to that, we don't pay for garbage collection at St. Martin's Fair. That's picked up by the Fair Commission through the fees. We don't pick up the 4th of July trash. That's picked up by the 4th of July. We don't pick up the Little League. They do that themselves. I'm just saying it's more equitable if the force takes care of it because it's their stuff. The parking lot, you know.
Okay. We are still under a suspension of the rules. I'd ask for, is there a motion to go back to regular order?
So
is there a second?
Second.
Oh, and then I'll turn to... all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I think Alderman Skronsky and Alderman Schmidt.
Alderman Schmidt
first. And then Alderman Skronsky.
Okay. I would just like to say from the other perspective of it, several years ago I was commissioner of the men's softball league for 5 years. And having lived in North Franklin all my life, we wound up having to rent a field at Greendale, the community center, because there was nothing available in Franklin. So I appreciate what you're trying to do. I'm looking at it from the perspective as being a former commissioner of a league. Are you being in charge then of making sure that the field is in playable condition after a rain and marking chalk lines and putting bases in, or how is all that covered?
We've got a person who's going to be the director of the field. So she's going to oversee the parking and everything that needs to be maintained, which includes the scheduling of the fields and the concessions. The intention of the concessions revenue is to fund back the money into what it's going to cost us to pay to do the fields. The striping of the fields was typically only done when we were there last year when they were being used for the high school. The high school, I believe, stripes their own. We typically don't need the field striped practicing. We won't hold games there unless it's a weekend game and it'll be a makeup game because we have that light issue. So the striping of the fields isn't something that was typically done before. Unless it was a high school game.
Okay. Alderman.
I'm sorry. We do agree that we will maintain the property and that if there are bleachers that are broken, we will take care of that. If there is maintenance and cleanup that needs to be done, we're going to take care of doing that kind of thing.
Hey, Alderman Skronsky and Alderman Taylor. And I don't know, there was I had several requests to try and get a quick meeting because of the national game. But Alderman Skronsky?
Yeah, I think, you know, that there is responsibility that they're going to take on. But I just want to point it out, if somebody else ruins that field and it's not, they shouldn't have to be responsible for it. It should be the parties that are using it at that time. So I want to make that very clear that although they're taking on a lot of burden, but as we know, sometimes people are not genuine in what they're doing and when they're using it. So the persons that maybe are not a proper caretaker to it, so it don't fall on their shoulders. So then.
Alderman Taylor?
Well, I too want to get out of here. Tomorrow's an election day, and so it's going to be a long one. But I do have a question. Does the Lions Club now pay for the garbage pickup? Mm-hmm. They currently
yep.
do?
Yep.
Yep, they did, yes.
And the school district doesn't pay for any of that, right? The school district pay for the garbage pickup? No.
Yeah, lucky
you. So who used it the most in the last number of years, the Lions Club or the school district?
I would say the Lions Club, because it's for the full summer. The school district's just in the back from basically April and May.
Yeah. All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. If there's no objection, I'd like the vote to be reported as unanimous. Seeing none, please record the vote as unanimous. Thank you very much for coming down today.
Thank you.
And Jerry, you'll probably want to talk to either me or Jesse in the next couple days about what we just did there. Okay? Again, on the same theme of, I know that there's this national basketball game on, so I'm going to try and move along. You go to item C, approval of regular meeting of March 15th.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item D, hearings, special assessments for installing water main on West Oakwood Road. Mr. Bennett.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. We do have a handout, so if you kind of raise your hand if you're involved in the special assessment, we'll get a copy of that. Mr. Romeis is here, assistant engineer, and Mr. Paulus is here from the designer, Grafe. I'll try to go through this briefly. We have had a couple meetings so far with the people. Number one, on November 4th last year, we had a meeting on the reconstruction of the road, which kind of turned into a partial meeting on the water main construction. And then a second meeting in January 13th of this year, we invited all the people to come to talk about the water main, and that was sponsored by engineering department, and the alderman from the district was at the meeting. I'm going to briefly go through the special assessment report and basically indicates how special assessments are handled in the city of Franklin. Again, this project starts from the east line of the Oakwood Golf Course and goes westwardly to the west line of 4648 Oakwood Road. There's a copy of the map behind me, and there's a detailed construction map. And Mr. Romeis will be available after the meeting to go into detail with any of the people that would like to have more specific information.
Mr. Romeis, could you raise your hand, please, so everybody knows? Thank you very much.
Again, this is the project. You can see the golf course, the east line of the golf course. That's where the existing water main stops. Then it's going to go westerly, and then in an easement north and hook on to the business park. This is a major loop for the water main to loop it such that it strengthens the water in the area. Why are we doing this? Really, for two reasons. Number one, doing this prior to the road being constructed, such that we won't have to dig up the road after it's constructed to put the water main in. And secondly, to have additional development in the general area where the Wheaton Hospital is located. We're pretty much at the capacity of the water system and need to loop this into the business park to be able to have another large development occur in that area. The council adopted a preliminary resolution on February 15th, resolution number 2011-6693, which really starts the ball rolling for special assessments. The costs. The original assessment report was based on estimated bids, but on March 17th, we opened bids. There was 12 bidders. That's on the agenda tonight for award. We think we got extremely good bids, and the costs were a lot less than we had anticipated in the original assessment report. This is the assessable main cost, the city's share, the laterals, and the project cost. The assessment policy is based on assessing an 8-inch equivalent water main to the abutting property owners, because that's really the basically minimum size that we put in for fire protection. This is a 16-inch main, so the oversized cost includes that and other non-assessable costs. The amount of assessable frontage, and that's along Oakwood Road. We separated out the easement area because that's not included in the actual assessment, and the rate came up to $48.52 per foot. The maximum assessment that's in our code for this year is $64.50. We estimated with our initial meetings it to be $57.29 a foot. So we feel we got a very good price on the water main. Again, $48.52 per foot. Laterals, we have 2-inch laterals for all the residential properties, one for each existing home, and an 8-inch lateral for the county. And the county would pay for the lateral. Benefits, and we go through this with each project, reliability of service, increased fire protection, assurance of a water supply, which has been routinely tested for potability, the elimination of the need for the maintenance and repair of individual wells, the ability to develop vacant land or under or partially developed property, the elimination of the potential of cross-contamination between private wells, and the elimination of the use of the limestone aquifer, which is more susceptible to contamination by pollutants from surface contaminations, including fertilizers, pesticides, and spills. The connection to the water, main is not required by the abutting property owner, but if a connection is made, they must pay a connection fee, and it increases every year at the cost of living index, but this year it's $1,786. With this project, our code allows a 10-year interest-free deferment for the first 300 feet of the property. I might mention on this project, we have two larger parcels that aren't really lots as you would normally suspect the lots. One on the east, which is basically still pretty much farmed, on the east, right, as we start the project, and then one on the west, and both of them are on the south side, but they are large parcels, and you notice in the assessment roll that there was a hefty assessment on each one of those parcels. Construction, again, a 16-inch water main would be constructed, and that would be, that loops all the way from 27th and College, all the way 27th and Rawson, all the way back through the Franklin Business Park. And laterals would be extended outside the pavement such that in the future when people hook on the water main, they won't have to dig up the pavement. All driveways will be restored and lawn areas will be landscaped. The area will be open to local traffic at all times but closed to through traffic. And the after this is completed, then we'll follow with the reconstruction of Oakwood Road. Laterals, again, I don't know if you can see this, but just to give an idea, the lateral runs, the city portion would run to outside the pavement, and then it would be the owner's responsibility when they hook onto the water main to extend that lateral into the building. The owner gets to determine where the lateral is going to be placed. It can be placed within the actual building footprint itself or on either side of it. And we would be working with each property owner to make that determination. Each lot would receive one lateral unless no lateral is requested. Extra laterals are available at the stated lateral rate. And each property owner, again, would be able to select the location of laterals. Policy, and these really don't apply, but there are some policies that sometimes the odd situations apply. In this case, none of those apply. Again, the connection fee is $1,786. Connection fee increases each year by the cost index. It's payable at time of connection. And fees along with the impact fees offset the cost of the major transmission mains, storage facilities, and pumping systems. Everybody that connects is connecting or will connect to the city water system pays an impact fee at the time they connect, whether they're in a subdivision or in a situation like this. Again, the code does not require connection to the water main. That's up to the property owner's decision. They can decide to keep it, keep their existing system for as long as they wish. They can keep their existing well for sprinkling, for lawn sprinkling. And at the time of connection, the city will install a meter, and we use radio read meters now so we don't have to enter the home except for about once every 12 to 15 years. The operating cost, it's always hard to say standard because the amount of water people use varies considerably, but it's $90.20 per quarter, which is that's for 18,000 gallons of water, which comes to a little over $30 a month. If the council awards the contracts tonight, the contract construction would start May 2nd. We would complete the water main by July 1st, the landscaping by July 15th, and then hope to complete the roadway before school starts in the fall. The city has a payment program, which is over a 12-year period at 6% interest. The tax bills would go out when the project is completed. If they're paid within 30 days, there's no interest charge. If they're not paid, then it automatically goes on the payment program on the tax roll. Again, there's a portion that's immediately assessed, and there's the portion that's deferred for 10 years. And that's pretty much my presentation. People want to answer any questions.
Okay. Madam Clerk, do you have a notice to read?
Notice of public hearing on special assessment for the installation of water main on West Oakwood Road from 400 feet west of South 34th Street to 4,200 feet west of South 34th Street and 1,000 feet north in an easement from West Oakwood Road to West Oakwood Park Drive. Notice is hereby given that the Common Council of the City of Franklin has declared its intention to exercise its police powers under Section 66.0701 Wisconsin Statutes and Section 207-15 Franklin Municipal Code to levy special assessments for reconstruction in the following locations: West Oakwood Road from 400 feet west of South 34th Street to 4,200 feet west of South 34th Street and 1,000 feet north in an easement from West Oakwood Road to West Oakwood Park Drive. A report showing proposed plans and proposed assessments and other data is on file in the City Clerk's office at Franklin City Hall. Notice is hereby given that such report is open for review and inspection from Monday through Friday and will be so continued for the period of 10 days after the date of publication of this notice. Notice is also hereby further given that on Monday, April 4th, 2011, at 6:30 p.m., the Common Council will be in session in their chambers at Franklin City Hall to hear all persons interested, their agents or attorneys, concerning the matter contained in the preliminary resolution and report, including proposed assessments. By order of the Common Council of the City of Franklin, Wisconsin, the 15th day of February, 2011.
Okay. Does this require me to open this up for public hearing? Madam Clerk? Okay. With that, I'm going to open up this item, item D1. Special assessments for installing water main on West Oakwood Road for public hearing. Is there anyone or any party wishing to be heard during the public hearing? Is there anyone or any person wishing to be heard during the public hearing? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing, and we have this listed as item G1 on our reports, and at that time we can, Mr. Bennett, if we have council members that would like to ask you questions, we could do so then. Turning forward, you have in your packet item F1, letter from Lori Pinella. That's for informational purposes, only to inform you that was a breakout session in one of the transitional meetings I attended now with Marvin Pratt, who's the interim county executive, and probably until tomorrow. Just gives you kind of a flavor for what's going on. And that's the only purpose for it. Now turn to item G1, and it's a final resolution directing installation of payment and levy of special assessments for installation of water main on West Oakwood Road. Any questions, comments? If not, is there a motion to adopt? Mr. City Attorney.
I have a question for the city engineer, actually maybe more than one. What was the method of assessment for this project?
Method of assessment is by front foot.
Does the city engineer have an opinion as to whether or not the front foot method for the installation of water on this project is a reasonable method, considering other methods such as the area method or an ad valorem or other method?
Yes, as some of the lots will be redeveloped in the future, generally the frontage guides to how many lots they can get on the property abutting the water main. We did not assess the portion that was in the easement that was not assessed against the frontage. But yes, this would not fit an area assessment very well.
Is the front foot method a reasonable method of assessment for this project?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Alderman Taylor, do you have a
hand up? Well, no, just that I think we had two meetings, as Jack mentioned, and one in November and one in, was it January? Is that right, Jack?
That's correct.
And it was pretty well attended. And I know there are some that don't care for this Unfortunately, it's something that the city has to do. We started back on Putes Road before I was in office, and then a couple years ago we did the main on 51st Street, and now this is the next. I mean, if the road was in better shape, you could argue maybe putting this off, but the road's not in good shape, needs to be done, and now's the time to put this water main in instead of doing a road project and then ripping it up. So I'll make a motion to adopt resolution directing the installation of payment and levy of special assessments for installing the water main on West Oakwood Road from 400 feet west of South 31st Street to 4,200 feet west of South 34th Street and 1,000 feet north of an easement from West Oakwood Road to West Oakwood Road Park Drive.
Is there a second to the motion?
No, second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Alderman Wilhelm.
And we're going to use the TIF for this? For all of it? Or what do we use it? Are we coming up with the money?
Mr. Bennett?
Yes, the special assessment portion is assessed against the property owner. That is the 8-inch portion of the water main, which actually services the abutting property. And the remaining unassessable portion and oversize from 8 to 16-inch main is being paid by TIF 2. TIF 4, excuse me.
Well, I guess, I understand the need to do it now. We keep doing these large capital projects, and I have some smaller needs in my district that could cost us a lot of money for more bang for the buck, but I will give my vote on this. But I would like some consideration of some of the other projects before we continue on with some of these large, really large expensive projects that people don't see much benefit from.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Those six, zip, motion carried. Item 2, resolution awarding bid to lowest bidder for water main construction of West Oakwood Road from 400 feet west of South 31st Street to 4,200 feet west of South 34th Street. Mr. Dunn?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. United Sewer Water, who have done work for the city of Franklin. We're low bidders. We did get 12 bids, which I don't think we've ever had 12 bids for a water main project. So you can see that there's hunger out there. And we did get what we think is extremely good bids, which do reflect on lowering the special assessments to the property owners and to the amount of the money that would come out of TIP 4. So we would recommend awarding to the low bidder, United Sewer and Water, for $509,187.
So moved. Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I now turn to item 3, resolution awarding contract, lowest bidder, Payne and Dolan, Inc., for the amount of $222,842. Dollars for reconstruction of West Oakwood Road from 1,400 feet west of South 34th Street to 60th Street.
So moved.
So motion to approve is seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Olson.
Mr. Mayor, tonight I heard this chicken or an egg situation that we're doing the water main because the road needs to be replaced. Personally, I don't think this road needs to be replaced for 600 cars a day. So it may seem odd that I'm going to vote against this road. I'm going to vote against this because it's 600 cars a day. Wait for a few numbers.
Right. Alderman Wilhelm?
I guess I have to agree with that, especially when I have some needs that are much, much higher priority. So I guess maybe I'll do that as well.
All right. Any further discussion on the motion? Alderman Olson-Solomon?
I just talked to my colleagues that this is coming out of TIF dollars. It's not coming out of taxpayers' dollars. Per se, without the availability of the TIF district to pay for this, it wouldn't be done.
Yes, Alderman Taylor.
All right, I'm going to bring this up here. You have a project that's going to cost $222,000. Yes, it's going to come out of TIF money. If we don't spend it, that goes back to the taxpayers. We all know that.
Yep.
And the city of Franklin will get about a quarter of it. Then in 3 to 4 years, like Alderman Olson brought up, we're going to have to do this project, and the city of Franklin, what we can control, will have to pay the entire amount. So if you want to know what you're actually going to get back, just take a quarter of that $222,000, and we're getting back. Yet then we're going to look at the taxpayers for the full amount down the road. That's why you're doing it now. Plus, if anybody drives that road, you have the shoulder. The road is caving into the shoulders. It is very unsafe. I don't care if it's 600 cars. It is a very unsafe road. It is a narrow road with deep ditches. There's a safety concern there. When the trucks plow, because it's not even smooth, the things just bounce around. How do I know that? Because I rode in a plow truck on there during a storm. And you see what's left behind. So I understand that it's not popular to do the road now, but the reality is it does need to be done. And this is the most economic, feasible way for the city of Franklin taxpayers. That's one of the six entities when budgeting on your tax bill. That's one of the six taxing authorities.
Alderman Wilhelm?
What was the road? What are we going to change the road from with the design? Are we changing the width standards? So there, it will still have ditches? So that's not going to change. So
no,
the
roads are filled in.
Alderman Wilhelm, you have the floor.
I guess
the road will, we're not maybe widening the road a foot or so, but the road will still stay as a rural road, a rural section. We're basically moving the ditches out, filling in where there's deep drop-offs, so the road doesn't slowly creep out. But it will be basically the same road when it's completed, but we should get 25 years of life on it.
And this road is rated at a 3 on a...
Yes.
What roads do we have that are rated at a 1?
It's the worst road in the city.
It is?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And that weighs a lot with me, especially if Jerry, his opinion means quite a bit. So thank you for that.
Okay. Alderman Schmidt and Alderman Taylor.
A member of the Public Works Commission, you know, we did review this, and having seen the illustrations of the road and having traveled on it myself, it is very noticeable that the shoulders are eroding. It's in dire need of repair. So I think if we do this in the right process, way to handle the budget.
Alderman Taylor?
I called up Ron Romeis today. He said, Ron, do we have any ones in the city? Oh, no, we don't have any ones in the city. One is not drivable. Do we have any twos? No, we have no twos. This is the worst road in the city. It's been that for a number of years. Yes, it's only 600 cars. Just drive it. Just drive it. Just get out of your car and walk it, because we walked it back in the fall. It's not in good shape.
Hey, a motion on the floor has been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson?
No.
Alderman Solomon?
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Skaronski?
Aye.
5 ayes, 1 no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item 4, resolution endorsing regional water supply plan for southeastern Wisconsin as developed by the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission. Alderman Wilhelm?
I noticed in this document there... The pages that are provided to us go up to like 800 and something, and we're making a recommendation to adopt a plan that we haven't given the entire plan to read. So could we just table this until we actually have a chance? Because I don't know what's in the rest of the document that I've been approving, and I don't certainly want to find out later on that I approved something in some chapter because we were only giving a few pages out of a 800 and who knows how many page document. Maybe staff could give us maybe a written assessment on the areas. I'm not comfortable, so I would like to just table it until the next meeting so we have a chance to read it.
Is there a second to the tabling?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Under discussion.
Unless there's an issue with that.
Alderman Olson?
Well, an undefined table is a kill. So what is the defined time?
The next
meeting. Next meeting of Common Council. Okay. And it's the second.
My second, pending that there's not an issue that staff's going to tell us right now about why we have to pass it tonight.
Okay. Mr. Bennett?
Now, it's my understanding if we don't pass this tonight, we won't be able to get it on the sewer PAC's quarterly meetings, and we won't be able to make the low-interest grant.
I'll withdraw my second.
Make a motion to approve.
Mr. Bennett,
maybe the city attorney would...
Are you on item 4 or item 5?
4.
Okay.
Water supply.
Oh, excuse me, water supply. I'm on item 5. Water supply makes no difference if we ever do it.
I'm sorry. So there's no problem.
Make the motion again. I'll second it.
It's been there's a motion. No,
Alderman,
there's a motion to table.
Motion to approve.
Madam Clerk.
They get them fixed.
Alderman Taylor withdrew his second. Alderman Skaronski moved to adopt the resolution, and Alderman Solomon seconded it. Therefore, the first motion died due to the lack of a second. The second motion was to adopt the resolution, and we have a motion and a second.
Okay. My understanding of what was on the table as the chair is that we had a motion to table this item. It was seconded by Alderman Taylor with conditional provisions about staff, et cetera. Did you withdraw your second?
Yes, because I did, because Mr. Bennett said that it was going to cause issues, so I withdrew my second, but obviously it's not the case, so I would argue that on the motion on the floor, which is Ken's, that we would give, I don't think there's anything wrong with giving 2 weeks to see what.
All right, so the motion to table fails for lack of a second. Okay, I didn't recognize the other maker. Is there another motion?
No, I'll yield to the first motion, and I'll withdraw mine.
Okay. Right, right now we have no motion on the floor.
I'll make the original motion.
Second.
All right, it's been moved to table. this item until the next Common Council meeting, and it's been the second. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's nodding your head. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item G5, resolution directing the city engineer to apply to the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission for inclusion of the South Central and Southwestern areas of the city of Franklin and the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission plan sanitary service area. Mr. Bennett?
Yes, this would, on the board, the area in blue is within the sewer PAC and DNR sewer service area. Sewer PAC is a 208 planning agency for EPA, and they regulate what areas sewers can be extended to. And with this request, we would then include the whole city within the sewer service area. This does not affect what's in the sewage MMSD district. This is just to be what sewers could be extended from, because before any sewer project can be approved, we must get a letter from Sewer PAC, Regional Planning Commission, stating that it is within the sewer service area. So with this request, they would then revise the report that we've been operating under since 1990, and it's report number 176, which basically has that's a blown-up copy on the right, and the white area is the area that's outside the sewage district. And it's important to be able to proceed with the Ryan Creek Interceptor that this area that we're putting the Ryan Creek Interceptor is within the state DNR sewer PAC sewer service area.
Is there a motion to adopt a resolution directing the city engineer to apply to the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission for the inclusion of the South Central and Southwestern areas of the city of Franklin and the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission planned sanitary sewer service area, and to set up date for a public hearing upon the proposed amendment to the planned sanitary sewer service area for the city of Franklin to allow for the installation of the Ryan Creek Interceptor Sewer?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm.
I don't have the contract here. What's in the contract that if we don't get this money for this grant, or what are we on the hook for? If we keep pushing this forward and we still don't have a firm commitment. Well, I guess it's not a grant, it's really long, but it's the clean water. And what's our commitment?
Mr. City Attorney?
Well, in terms of the actual numbers, I don't see Mr. Patterson here, but I would defer as to actual numbers. I think he answered this question at the last time a subject matter on the Ryan Creek Interceptor was here. As I understand it, the city engineer as well as the finance director had a meeting with staff at the Department of Natural Resources Friday before last, and are most assured that the Clean Water Fund loan will be available, as has been expected from the start of this process. Mr. Bennett can speak for himself if council wishes to hear from him. Outside of Clean Water Fund loan costs, this is rough because I'm not the finance director, but I'm understanding that the only municipal costs outside of what should be funded by the Clean Water Fund loan amount to approximately $50,000 over time in interest carrying costs. And then there may be some other amounts for stub laterals that would be put in as part of the main project, which would in the future, ultimately, when the area develops, be the subject of either impact fees or assessments. So that would not impact the general fund. So the bottom line on non-clean water fund loan, impact to the city is roughly $50,000. The clean water the fund loan is not awarded. I don't have a number for you.
Well, aren't we doing this backwards then? Wouldn't we want to know what our costs are going to be before we continue to move forward in one direction so we don't, you know, we're going to get stuck with $31 million? I guess I've asked this question. I asked Cal at the last meeting, is this secure? Is this? And he said no. He didn't have an answer. With all the cuts coming down from the state and the budget, I have no, crystal ball on what's going to happen with that money. And I'd like an answer because I don't want to put the taxpayers on the hook for it. That's one issue. And the other thing, I have to take exception, Mr. Bennett, to we have been operating under Plan 176 because the only part we're operating under 176 is the sewer extension, but the rest of the recommendations we're not following.
Okay. The city attorney.
Alderman Wilhelm gave me a different view of what her question may be. I'm looking at it, what if the Clean Water Fund loan application is not granted? There have been costs incurred by the city for consult staff, et cetera, up to that point. It's not $31 million because $31 million is substantially, if not the entire construction project, as well as moving construction forward costs, and will be a loan commitment before bids are awarded. In fact, I think the calendar schedule anticipates a loan commitment from the Department of Natural Resources on or about June 30, 2011.
Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item G6.
Could you recognize that as a unanimous vote? Sir?
Is there a request? There's a request to recognize the vote as unanimous. No objection. Please record the vote as such. Item 6, resolution awarding 2011 bituminous and aggregate material bids. Mr. Bennett, busy today.
Yes, this is our usual springtime.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Oh, I'm sorry. Alderman Spade.
Yes, I did have, under item 7 there, some mobilization for pulverizing noises. It seemed like a very large discrepancy in the cost of 250 versus 2,000 for Payne and Nolan. And you were moving to accept the Payne and Nolan. Curious of why there was such a large discrepancy.
Mr. Bennett?
It's just a matter of where they put their costs. But then what we did is we added up all the costs for asphalt materials for Payne and Dolan, because you can't have one person mobilize and then use somebody else's asphalt. So we totaled everything up together, and Payne and Dolan is the cheaper, and that's pretty much not much of an increase from last year in the total.
Okay. Right. Hey, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Item 7, purchase of new municipal court records management system from Titan Public Safety Solutions. Mr. Liberta?
This is a budgeted item in the capital improvement fund to replace the Enforcer court system that has been without a vendor provider for a number of years. The courts looked at it and wanted to move with TIPS, but the city's held off waiting to see if our current police department records management system, Phoenix, would develop a court system. After a couple years, it's still not in place, and the judge and court staff would like to move forward so as not to put their revenues from municipal court at risk. And the motion recommended is to purchase the TIPS products and modules indicated, but leaving some room for the city attorney to work out three boilerplate issues that relative to liability that weren't able to be addressed due to an availability of the vendor's attorney at the time.
Alderman Olson?
This particular vendor and software package hasn't been reviewed by the Technology Commission. That commission is loaded with IT professionals who may offer some good advice relative to the contract. I admit to the fact that the Technology Commission has been over this issue a million times relative to Titan and Phoenix, but this particular vendor hasn't been. Just information for the council to do
okay.
It what they want.
Mr. Liberta?
Just as a point of clarification, this was the other vendor that and product that the Technology Commission did look at in detail in that comparison table that was 2 years ago. And at that time, the Technology Commission recommended if Phoenix can give it to us for free and they're providing a similar package, then hold off and wait for Phoenix. And at that point, Technology Commission had said to give them a year. We've given them over two, and they've made no more product. But it's true, the vendor never actually came in and met personally with them. They just looked at that you talked with court representatives and looked at a spreadsheet comparing pros and cons of the two.
I just wanted to say that the judge has met with us on several occasions, a couple times, and is very, very concerned about the current system and that, you know, he is responsible for making sure that everything works properly over there. We do receive quite a bit of revenue from it. So Judge Klimitz, former Mayor Klimitz, has not asked a lot of the city, and he's very concerned about it. Alderman Saul?
Comment. Phoenix never moved forward with the system that we're looking for or needed. Can Titan replace Phoenix down the road?
No, the Titan product is specific to a municipal court package. They've filled that particular niche, and they're actually very well respected in the state in that area. Phoenix did move forward; they just never completed it.
So they're just hanging their product out in limbo and never finished it.
They, you know, we kept getting delivery dates for an installation product. And we did have trial runs, so we saw progress. They just, you know, never carried it over the goal line, so to speak.
I just looked at some of the write-up here that we still have to double input in some cases. But I guess if it's going to work this way, that's the way it's got to work.
Is there a motion to authorize the mayor to execute a license agreement, support agreement, and software escrow agreement with Titan Public Safety Solutions, LLC, for acquisition and installation of a new municipal court records management system in accordance with the provisions of the 2011 approved capital outlay fund budget and contingent upon acceptance of terms for Section 7.4, 9.2, and 12.8 of the license agreement and 9.1 of the system support agreement by the city attorney?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It moved and seconded. Any further discussion? The city attorney.
Only when it says acceptance of the city attorney, be advised that the negotiation, like many others, might not be successful. So if it's not available, it's not available. Those provisions will remain as is.
Okay. Is there I think Alderman Olson's suggestion was excellent. If there's any way that we can bring, I don't know, the chairman of the Technology Commission into the process here, I would welcome it. All right, motion on the floor has been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item G8, Wisconsin Statute 74.35, appeal claim for unlawful tax by Owen Buskey, agent for Nicole R. Buskey, for parcel 881-005-9250 South 46th Street. Mr. LeBurl.
I'll give a brief introduction, and if there's other detailed questions, Mr. Link is available. Mr. Buskey was the individual who spoke during citizens' comments on this claim. The bottom line summary of it is that Mr. Buskey has appealed under 7433 for an unlawful tax. His primary contention, if I were to summarize, is that he believes Mr. Link did not use appropriate or accurate comparables, and then therefore his comparables were wrong and he's in error for using them. As Mark concluded in his summary, although he looked into the details of individual comparables and showed that he believes his numbers are still fair and reasonable, the bottom line is that Mr. Buskey doesn't qualify for under this category because A, he didn't go to Board of Review, and B, this category disagreeing with the comparables selected or used does not qualify as a as a palpable error for a claim under this section of statute. I spoke with Mr. Buskey today, and he was aware that I would be supporting Mr. Link's conclusions, and he asked me to reconsider that. My method of reconsidering was to contact Alan Land, the Supervisor of Equalization for the Southeastern District Office of the Department of Revenue, oversees this, and Mr. Land confirmed for me very specifically that this particular example is one that I would not accept as an allowable claim. This is a disagreement in assessed value, and therefore it doesn't fit in this category, so it should be denied.
Alderman Solomon and Alderman Olson.
I went through these, and I put a note on this one on the folder, difference of opinion on comparables. This belongs at the Board of Review, and I will therefore move to deny the 74.35 appeal or claimer for unlawful tax by Owen Buskey, agent for the Nicole R. Buskey, for parcel 881-005-9250 South 46th Street for the reasons as provided by the city assessor in his memo dated March 30th, 2011.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Olson.
Well, this is not the end of the line for this landowner. Next step is circuit court, right?
I believe that's right. I'll defer to Mark.
Yes, that's correct. I believe he could, within a 90-day window, appeal this decision to circuit court.
Under discussion, Alderman Taylor.
Well, I've talked to, I know this first item 8 is a little bit different than 9, 10, and 11 because they didn't go before the Board of Review. The other three did. And so the I appointed, like we all get to, 3 years ago, a gentleman who's the chairman of the Board of Review. So I brought these four items, even though he's only one of the members of the seven. I did bring these all this information and met with him yesterday and had him just kind of go over it for his opinion. And his opinion was the same as the assessor's, based on the information that he saw. Now, these are seven people that we appoint, each one of us. There are, and they're peers, and I have to agree with the assessor based on the facts. I didn't know about this email in regards to the Southeastern Wisconsin person, Mark, that you, who is it, Landy?
His name is Alan Land. He's the supervisor of equalization. He's basically, if I have a question as to procedures Mark follows, he's sort of the front line of oversight of local assessors.
So I think we appoint these people and we rely on them to their judgment. They go through the training. They know a lot more about this than I do. So that's where I stand.
Motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Is there a desire to suspend the regular order of business to allow Mr. Buskey to speak? All right. The motion on the floor has been seconded.
I have no. I'll move to have him speak. He's here.
It's been moved and seconded to allow Mr. Buskey to speak. All those in favor of suspending regular order of business, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
No. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skaronski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Salomon.
No.
Alderman Olson.
No.
Four ayes, two noes. I believe that ayes have it. Motion carries it. That fulfills the two-thirds requirement. Mr. Buskey.
I would just like to bring to the attention.
If you could you please speak into the microphone so we can, it's being taped.
I would like to just bring to the attention of the council and the mayor that the handout that was given showed the selection that a computer uses to gather comparables in the situation with my daughter's property showed that the assessor used but 19 homes, and the only similarity was that they were ranch-style homes. In a document that was given to the side of the room, it showed that, contrary to Mr. Link's summary page on a report that he wrote, he said, I quote, "The methodology used to arrive at the assessed value for the subject property was uniformly applied to all residential property in the city." The point of giving the document to both sides of the room showed that when properties when a pool of properties are used for comparison value, the larger the pool, the better the comparable selection. That home has been praised through special assessment or through the assessment process since 1947. The only reason that there's never been a problem with the assessed value of that house is that the pool of properties that the assessor used was substantially larger than 19 homes. The 2006 assessment pool for that home was 84 properties. The handout that was given to yourselves shows that neighboring homes within two blocks of my home, the database, you know, all these things are done off of a computer, the database searched 302 homes as opposed to this wimpy search of 19 properties. And it might be pointed out to you that when you search a small number of properties, you can dramatically alter the amount of the assessment. My claim wasn't that the assessment value was too high or too low. I'm a realtor. My claim was this assessor's comparables were not comparable. And there's a group of six people here that had a chance to see the comparables that this person selected. I would seriously consider the city look for a new contractor when that contract comes up. This man's work was incredibly sloppy. and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Boski. Is there a motion to return to back to regular order of business? There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. There was a motion that had been made by Alderman Solomon, seconded by Alderman Olson. It was discussion by Alderman Taylor. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Mr. Liberto?
I would only like to say you can look at the information in your packets, not only for this, but for the next three items on your agenda, and see the level of detail and steps taken through where it covers all the issues of law, breaks down the basis for his decisions, dismantles the comparables offered by Mr. Boski, and points out the simple statement of fact, or statement of position, I would say, that's supported by the Department of Revenue to reach his conclusion. So, and based upon the information the clerk has provided many times, you can see that this packet is anything but sloppy. It is, I think, very organized and professional, and I just wanted to make sure that Mr. Busky's statement was refuted for the record as well, because I have no questions to my faith in his ability to put together a professional document, which I believe you have in front of you.
Alderman Schmidt?
In reviewing these cases, I know there are many times where you mentioned that in order to, even if it was the state to review it, that there must be at least a 10% difference from where usually these are falling into like a 2% discrepancy or something. If, in this case, if more of these comparables had been taken into account, would that have risen to that level, even of 10%, to your knowledge?
Well, let me touch base on the comparabilities just real quick on the comparison selection process, and I'll be brief. Keep in mind, it is mass appraisal. We're appraising 12,000 properties. When we're selecting the comparables, we're looking at the area of the municipality, assigning a geographical neighborhood number that you'll see on page 2 or exhibit 2. From there, a larger core neighborhood group. But importantly, and more importantly, is the style of home. So in this instance, there's and there are some other factors as well, the age of the home, the square footage of the home, the qualitative rating, and the condition rating, as I mentioned in the summary. So in this instance, where the subject is a ranch-style home, it went through the 19 sales that are in that neighborhood group or in that area. The first thing it does for all properties is go through the full sales set to eliminate it and create the subsets of data. So for all properties, they first go through the 302. For the other properties, one that was presented where it went through 302, it's because it's a two-story home that's in an area of one-story range-style homes. So it had to go throughout the city. And I think I'll just leave it at that. The other points that were brought up by the property owner relating to the comparables, I could comment on. However, those are under review for 2011, and I will review the information that he presented as far as the comparability goes for the 2011 assessment as part of our normal request for assessment review process.
Liberta, I tell you that Mr. Boski, I thought, really did a lot of work here. Did listen to what he said, that he's not just a citizen that normally comes in, but he's also a real estate individual, and so he's got a lot of experience here. I guess the question I have is when's the last time that we actually went out and looked at other firms doing the assessments, or is it?
We did not do it for this last cycle of reval. So the last time there was a sort of an open bid, I think, would have been when they were brought in prior to the 2006 reval.
Okay. I understand we have a motion on the floor, and the mayor only breaks motions in the case of a tie. Yes.
I'm sorry, just real quick. On the comparisons, if I could just comment on the comparisons. from the property owner. I believe these are the ones that are in the packet. There were five of them that were presented. The first property at 7165 South 37th Place was a foreclosure sale for $63,000. It's not indicative of what the market value is for that property. The second comparison at 7271 35th Street was a May of 2010 sale, occurred after the assessment date. Our assessment records indicate that the property was not habitable. I actually was in the property in December of 2009, I believe it was. That property is not comparable based on the condition. The third comparison is about 900 to 1,000 square feet smaller than the subject, which is a factor that would need to be considered when you're selecting it as a comparison. The fourth property at 7416 South 37th Place, the sale occurred August of 2008. We use sales that occurred October of 28 through December of 2009, leading up to the January 1, 2010 assessment. And then the last property sold in September of 2010, again, 9 months after the assessment date. So when you narrow it down, in the property owner's exhibit, there's one property that sold within this window that could even be considered to be comparison. It's a difficult property to select comparables for.
I've never really got involved in these types of disputes, but I have to tell you that as a former person that used to train managers in how to be expert witnesses in arbitration and stuff, if I was to pick a credible witness, it would be Mr. Guffey-Buskey. So it raises, and the other thing I think he said was, you know, you said there's six of us, there's seven of us that are up here to make sure that the system is fair. So, I understand we have a motion on the floor. So. And it's been said. Chairman Wilhelm?
Well, to me, I think part of the problem is the housing market. I mean, what I could have sold my place for in 2008 really doesn't compare to what it is now. And, you know, I'm looking at this one that's in my district, and it says that the reevaluation was used between October 2008 and 2009, and which is what you said, the same thing on this one. And that's generally accepted, but to me, that's in usual circumstances. And I think we're in awfully unusual circumstances when we're doing this, and I think that makes up for some of the difference. And I have the same question that comes to mind, so it pertains to this. Can the council, because they're determining that there is a difference on the one I have, but also the 2% came up, can the council decide to go with that 2%?
The city attorney? Yes, can the city attorney.
I guess if he's the proper person to answer it.
Go with what 2%?
The 2% that it's... according to the one that I have for mine, I'll just use that example because that's one I have in front of me, which is a similar situation. The property owner is requesting reduction of $6,900, which is the total. This is a difference of 2% in the opinion value. Is that the Department of Revenue will not hear objections where the difference of opinion is a value less than 10%. I understand the Department of Revenue won't hear them, but does this council have the right and the authority to take that 2% is my question.
City Attorney.
Just so I understand, the 2% has nothing to do with what's before the Common Council right now. That's something that's unrelated in your district?
Well, it was a similar comment that he'd made on this particular one, that there was a 2% difference. I would be asking the same question when mine came up, but Alderman Schmidt brought it up. So
there's no request for a property assessment of a 2% increase by this taxpayer, by this claim, correct?
Well, right. I want the answer when it comes to mine. So if you want to wait to answer it, that's fine, but I just wanted to know if there was any wiggle room on any of these other ones.
I'll give you my general answer on it. Number one, I'm aware that the Department of Revenue will not consider a 10% diversion from the assessed value. I can also tell you that through the years spending time at Board of Review, oftentimes what is quoted is Crom versus Anagola, State of Wisconsin Supreme Court case in 1936, I believe, where the court said a divergence of 12.5% of the amount arrived at by the assessor does not in and of itself constitute a sufficient or significant enough divergence to in any way make the assessment non-uniform. So in other words, that's the court range. That's what we can argue for something less than 12.5% in the court. When it comes to looking at a claim, the counsel has discretion. What the counsel should do is apply the law in the case. This is a case arguing about comparables, and what the assessor provided in his memo is a copy of the statute under which this claim is based. This is a claim for an unlawful assessment. By definition, the unlawful assessment has to be based on what is a palpable error. Palpable error is defined under statute at 74.33. And those palpable errors, here's your categories of errors. Number one, a clerical error has been made in the description of the property or in the computation of the tax. Number two, the assessment included real property improvements which did not exist on the date for making the assessment. Number three, the property is exempt by law from taxation. Number four, property is not located in the taxation district for which the tax roll was prepared. Number five, a double assessment has been made. Number six, an arithmetic, transpositional, or similar error has occurred. So those are your categories. So if you're applying the law as to what's an unlawful tax, which is based on a palpable error, should be in one of those categories. And then 74.33, subsection 2 of the statutes further provides governing body of taxation district may not refund or rescind any tax under this section if the alleged error, and it's a manufacturing property appeal process if it belongs there, or if the alleged error is solely that the assessor placed a valuation on the property that is excessive. So Mr. Buskey's arguing that the error is because the assessor used a 19-unit pool of comps versus a larger pool of comps. The assessor's telling you that what he did was in the ordinary course of his business and practice under the assessor's manual, and that the true issue is valuation error. So it can go up and back for years. Is it valuation error or is it a palpable error under one of those categories because he used too small a pool? Make a decision on that.
Alder Wilhelm, you have the floor. I do see you, Mr. Buskey, but we'd have to suspend the regular business.
I'll wait and make my comments when my item is up because this is in my district. So.
Do you have a motion on the floor? It's been seconded. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Alderman Solomon.
I think this is an appropriate time for this, but in your latest municipality magazine that came in the mail today, whether it's here or at home, they're in page 133, Board of Review Training Easy to Find on the Web. I was trained on the Board of Review. In fact, I chaired it for 3 years. It is now attendance at any of the training listed on the DOR site has been approved by the Department of Revenue. So you can be trained on the Board of Review over the net. So those of you that don't understand the rules and the regulations, it's right here for you. Put it up and go to it.
Thank you all. Item 9, Wisconsin Statute 74.37, appeal claim assessment, by Tim Dillett. Ms. Liberta?
This is a slightly different claim. This is a 74.37 appeal, and in this one, Mark did find that they did meet the qualifications for an appeal, meaning they did all the previous steps they were supposed to. If you read through the detail of his submission, he shows, I believe, very adequately the support for the basis of the number at which he arrived, and I believe he also addressed the comparables suggested by the resident and shows why his number is within the is actually the most appropriate. And I believe, as he concluded, that his assessed value was fair and equitable based on the information available to the office, and I recommend denial of the claim.
Is there a motion to deny the 74.37 appeal or claim on excessive assessment by Tim Dillett for parcel 839-0107-8868 West Silverwood Court for the reasons as provided by the city assessor in his memo dated March
30th,
2011. So moved. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now, item 10. Any questions? Alderman Wilman.
Yes, that one's in my district, and pretty familiar with the home. I guess I want to know if the property owner was notified to come.
Mr. Link, Mr. Liberta, was the property owner allowed to be at this hearing or this council meeting? Were they notified? Or?
Well, I met with Mr. Hoffer last week and told him that this was likely going to be on the agenda for this evening. And we went through the packet that you have in front of you.
So likely going to be on the agenda, but did anyone let him know it was going to be on the agenda?
I did not give him formal notice.
Okay. He doesn't even get the opportunity to come forward then. I guess what I'd like to just say on this is the similar things that I said the last time, that these are different times in this 2008 to 2009 comparable. There's quite a variance in the time frame of houses and what they were marketed back then. The home that was put in here, it's built in 1990. The five comparables, all ranches, were 9 to 13 years different than the comparable. So 9 to 13 years newer than the home that we're looking at. And I understand the little type boxes that you're painted in for Department of Revenue. I have another area in my personal life that I disagree with the type boxes of some of the standards that are being applied. And so maybe you are within, your decisions may be within the Department of Revenue and perfectly fit within that, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I need to agree with those. And on this particular one, I'd either like to see it tabled until the person can be notified and if they don't want to come in, or I'm just going to vote no on it, so I guess so.
Do I make a motion to table?
I'll make the motion table to the next meeting so we can make sure that he has the opportunity. And we could just say if he's notified that it's on, I don't know how you would...
Just on the motion to table to the next meeting. Is there a second on the motion?
I'll second.
Okay. Under discussion, Mr. City Attorney?
Just so it's clear, there's no legal requirement to a public hearing upon the filing of a claim with the local government. This particular claim was for excessive tax. Qualified to make that claim, you have to go to the Board of Review. You have a hearing in front of the Board of Review. Are dissatisfied with what the Board of Review decides, you have the right to appeal to Circuit Court following the Board of Review to challenge that decision. You also have a right to appeal to the Department of Revenue. Those two options were not taken by this taxpayer. But because the taxpayer did have a hearing in front of the Board of Review and paid the taxes, it's qualified under state statute to file this claim. If the council did nothing, took no action for 90 days, the claim is deemed denied. So my only concern is that you're creating some concept that there's a right to be publicly heard on filing a claim. Doesn't exist. The appeal right from the Common Council is to the Circuit Court.
On the motion to table, Alderman Wilhelm, do you have a comment?
Well, I guess I wasn't trying to say it's a right for a public hearing or anything, but I think it's just it would like anything that's on the agenda. If my house is on the agenda, I would want someone to let me know it was on the agenda so I'd at least come and hear the discussion. I mean, that was all my point was.
Alderman Taylor?
Well, I would argue that when a person hits a pothole and blows out a tire, they file a claim against the city, and they can come here, but they never have since I've been here. And, you know, they did meet with the assessor. There's a number of steps that they have to go through. He said he met with them last week. Maybe the gentleman or the owner of the property said, all right, I got a thing to deny, and chose not to show up.
That's cool.
So that's very possible what happened. Are we going to start now sending out letters of notification to every time there's a claim? I would say no, we shouldn't do that. So I would think that there's a process. If the person wanted to be here, I would believe the assessor they would probably notify. And we only have one of the four. The other ones didn't show up. Two others besides this one didn't show up either. So should we now recant what we just did?
Well, we have a motion to table.
All
right, the second has been withdrawn. I believe the motion fails for lack of a second. Is there another? Is there a motion to deny the 74.37 appeal or claim on excessive assessment by Lawrence Hoffer?
So moved.
For parcel, just one second. For parcel 739017540 West South Geraldine Drive, for the reasons as provided by the city assessor in his memo dated March 30th, 2011. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there a moved and seconded? Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson?
Aye.
Salmon?
Aye.
Wilhelm?
No.
Taylor?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Skoransky?
Aye.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item 11, Wisconsin Statute 74.37, appeal claim, excessive assessment by Lon Arfson. Any questions on that? If not, is there a motion to deny the 74.37 appeal or claim on excessive assessment by Lon D. Arfson for parcel 806? 0170000, 8161 South 59th Street, for the reasons as provided by the city assessor, his memo dated March 28th, 2011.
I'll make that motion, Mr. Mayor.
No,
is there a second?
Second.
The moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Solomon.
In reading this one, there's three comparables that exist in the same subdivision, which are similar in higher assessments. So they file because they can.
Yeah.
All right.
Call a question.
Any more discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Let's see. Staffing changes, Treasury Office, that's been tabled indefinitely?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Public record, do you need a motion on that?
Move to place on file, Mr. Mayor.
Is a motion placed on file? It's second. So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Public record components of the Franklin notification system. Mr. Liberto?
I would like to make one quick point of clarification. And the verbiage I used throughout, I refer to it as not being a public record if it's not going to be made available. It's technically still a public record because we own it, but my point is, in saying that was, those records we're not going to distribute at a public records request. So just a clarification of the use of the term public
record. Motion to place on file, Mr. Mayor.
Motion to place on file. Is there a second?
Second.
The moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Authorization for the Director of Administration to enter into a new four-year lease agreement with RICO Business Solutions for the City Hall's first floor main copier. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Been moved and seconded several times. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to Committee of the Whole recommendations. Alderman Solomon?
I will move to approve the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan 2025 for the City of Franklin as presented at its March 1st, 2011 meeting with minor changes being made. And I would also like to... Do I have a second for that?
Second.
Thank you. I want to point out, Mr. Mayor, that on page...
Did you want to extend the motion, Alderman?
I want some clarification.
Okay.
And on page 167, third bullet point, sixth bullet point.
167?
Yes.
Third bullet point.
Page 9 is the third bullet point. Page 22 is the second bullet point that I'm questioning. Page 31 is the ninth bullet point. And page 24 in chapter 4 is the other bullet point on page 167 that I do not, though those are more than minor changes.
First one or second?
Pardon?
First one or second?
I'm sorry, second page 24. Those are not minor changes. That one I don't care about. Page 169. Chapter 7, page 27, that is not a minor correction. Otherwise, I'm all for page 27, the third bullet point on page 169.
Okay. So
that is my motion to include all of the other documentation that's there.
All right. And who is the second?
Second.
Yep. And that's you're in agreement,
yes.
Alderman Taylor?
Yep.
All right. Under discussion, Alderman Olson.
Well, as we discussed in Committee of the Whole, I have offered alternate language for Section 8, which the clerk has in front of her, if she can read it with my clerk.
And that will be included in my motion.
All right.
Well,
that's
read it.
I agree.
Yes. Yeah. Madam Clerk, will you please read the language?
Common Council recognizes a long-term goal to provide the community a center for various indoor activities that have yet to be defined. The Council, as well, recognizes an obligation to provide a sound financial footing for such a development through impact fees derived from new development. To that end, assessment of need will continue until such time as a consensus of need and funding is achieved.
And is that part of your motion, Alderman Solomon?
Yes.
And Alderman Taylor, is that also part of your second?
Correct.
That All right.
And Alderman Olson, you have the floor.
With the understanding that is a replacement for Section 8. Section 8's gone except for that.
Alderman Solomon, is that your understanding?
I thought it was going to be added at the end of the paragraph.
And you're the maker of the motion.
At the end of the chapter. To be included at the end of the chapter.
Alderman Solomon, you can either agree with that or not.
I'm not going to agree with the replacement, but I want to put it at the end of Chapter 8.
You're in agreement with the language as
well
as...
Language, just where it's going to be placed.
Alderman Taylor, who's the second?
Yes, I'm not... Added language, but not removed the entire chapter.
Correct.
All right. Any further discussion on the motion?
Compromise.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I don't think there's any real reason to knock out the things that are here because it makes it more accurate. And the first one is it's a goal the protection of natural resources to a lesser extent is two, and it says erosion control and sediment promote, and I said flood protection. I mean, isn't that also what they do? Well, if anybody knows anything about soils up here, they actually do provide flood protection, and that's why we have stormwater management regulations, because when you put a pervious surface over it, it no longer provides flood protection. So that's what it's doing. It acts as a sponge for the water. So adding the word flood protection, I don't think is a really scary thing to do. The next one is on page 22. It must be understood that emphasis relating to land development should be placed upon coexisting with the environment, avoiding construction of unsuitable areas which would damage the natural resources. And I don't see what's the whole thing about this plan. It says we were going to try to implement protecting some of the resources. What everybody agreed on in the core plan is what we said we were going to try to do. And then the again, the other one was adding flood protection.
Roberta, could you call ask them to maybe move down the hall a little bit? It's very difficult to hear Alderman.
So the other one is also to add flood protection. And then the last one is an error.
There's a... Alderman Skransky? Calling the question?
Yes.
Is there a second to calling the question?
Second.
Question's been called. It's been seconded on the motion. The city attorney.
I think you may need the floor to move to call the question.
All right. The chair says that Alderman Skransky did not have the floor. Alderman Wilhelm has the floor. So Alderman Wilhelm, you continue with your statement.
Well, I guess out of all of those, if you don't want to add the word flood protection, which I think should be a goal given that we've had more than 35 drainage complaints, I think that would be a very good addition to this. But if you don't think that flood protection is important in our community, then leave those areas out. But in the area of number 24, where it says Victor Creek Special Park, and it lists the bullet points, this bullet point list under Victor Creek Special Park is in my district. I know it's in there. I've been there, and those items are at that site. It accurately reflects what is on the property. There are every other one that's in there talks about it, if it has a wetland or a creek or what it has, except for this one basically says it has nothing. So all I'm asking is a correction to, like, every park that's in here that you actually say in the bullet points what's at the park. And so it's just adding the bullet points that it is has wetlands, has creek, has a cedar prairie, has a woodland mitigation where an arboretum sand planting was done. And that's all things that are there. We all know that. We all vote on it to put those things there. And why not let the people know that it's in there? You did it for every other park. I don't know why it would make a difference with this one. So I guess I would like to see that added. And I can live with his other changes, but that one, to me, is not acceptable to just have every park list every item, but have that park not say what's there.
All right. Alderman Skransky, you have the floor.
I have a question. Call for it.
There's a motion to call the question. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. On calling the question, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skransky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
No.
Alderman Wilhelm.
No.
Alderman Salmon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
No.
Motion fails for a majority. Alderman, Taylor, and then Alderman.
Well, I like everything that we have in front of us. I think Alderman Wilhelm just makes a good point on that last thing with the park. Those things are in there. Then, I mean, I would say that she knows that park. It is in her district. Unless you can say what is wrong about that inclusion, then I think it probably should be added. If there are things I would agree with, Alderman Solomon, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, we do have a motion on the floor, and it's under discussion. Alderman Solomon and Alderman Olson.
The reason I selected that page 24, Victory Creek, because it is not in the special park. Victory Creek Special Park Bullet List. Those items that are listed there aren't all in Victory Creek Special Park. They're in the MMSD land, which was deeded to the city of Franklin.
Right.
Two different parcels of land.
No. Alderman Olson.
With all due respect to Alderman Solomon and his expertise in the Parks Commission, is that true, Jim? Joel?
Mr. Deedle?
We lumped all those sites together into one. So Tifton Woods used to be in the old park plan a separate site. We lumped that one and all the MMSD's lands into one park site.
Okay.
Parks did not, excuse me.
Well,
Alderman Olson, you have the floor.
That was my concern. I appreciate what you're saying, Tim. But
and Pleasant View is still separate.
For the document purposes, we ought to leave it in because it's uniform and consistent. And move forward.
Alderman Solomon, you had your hand up.
Well, my problem is the lease that the city has with MMSD or the transfer of those lands have criteria on them that you can't lump them together. We can do things in the special park, Victory Creek Special Park, that we cannot do on the acreage that was given to the city by MMSD. There are very much different parcels and with different restrictions.
Correct.
Okay, Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I think we all realize where the property boundaries are. It's just like no different than having an easement in your front yard where you have a sidewalk or a tree border that you know you can't do certain things in certain places. Doesn't mean you have to break that off and call it a totally separate parcel. You just follow the rules. And if that's what they did, that if you're going to go back to what you said, then there's several areas in this document that need to be changed because it's lumped together throughout the whole document and it's all mixed together. So now you're creating a bigger problem. So if you just put what's there and be done with it, and when the things come up, if you're concerned that it's going to prevent something from being developed by putting this here, we all know what the document with the conservation easement says and where that area is, and we're not going to try to prevent it, the development of the park you want, because that's Pleasant View Park. That's the one you really want developed. That's different than this park.
I will concede your page 24 on Chapter 4.
Right. Alderman Solomon, in that concession, are you altering your motion that's currently on the floor to include the issues that Alderman Wilhelm has stated?
Item
just that one.
Page 24, Chapter 4 on page 167.
Okay. And who's the second to the
motion? I agree.
And Alderman Taylor is in agreement. All right. On the motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Section 8 still in there.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Olson. Olson. Olson.
Solomon.
Aye.
Wilhelm.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Skronsky.
Aye. Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Another.
That's three times.
More compromise from the council. Wonderful thing to be on.
Working together.
Working together.
In harmony.
So far apart.
Scale.
I feel like breaking into
Mayor?
Whistle while I work. Yes. Alderman Wilhelm.
I would just like to say that I spent hours and hours going through this, and I'd like to thank Mr. Deedle for taking my document one by one and considering each one of them, and he did a very good job.
I know. He explained each and every one of those to me on the phone.
here's my tale.
He explained all of those to me. And then I said, shut up. Item H1. Licenses?
Yeah.
Walgreen Company, approved pending payment. Nijin, hold for appearance. Prohaska.
Wait, hold it 1 second. I'm sorry. What else would you like? We're in a hurry.
There was a motion for a resolution and a motion for the ordinance.
Okay, and which one is this?
We need to do the ordinance.
I'm sorry.
So the second one. On the bottom.
Motion to adopt an ordinance, numbered 2011-, ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to incorporate the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan 2025, City of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, with incorporation of the changes as identified in attachment A, proposed revisions to the core update, minor technical corrections with those other items as incorporated into Alderman Solomon's motion tonight.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Wilson.
And again, Mr. Mayor, I'm not going to support this. Based on the fact that we produce a whole guideline for a nice $11 million building with no plan behind it, so I'm not going to support the ordinance.
Okay. We think we understand that. All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skransky?
No. No, aye. Well, it got everybody's attention.
It did.
We moved ahead on this thing.
All right.
Alderman, we had enough conversation.
All right, that's enough frivolity.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor? Alderman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman
Solomon?
Harmony.
No.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
No.
Given the significance of what you just passed, I would congratulate each and every one of you, except those that voted no. H1.
The election's tomorrow time. There's still time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I kid.
You'll see the signs in the morning.
Yeah.
Outside of all the polling places. Licensing. Walgreen Company, approve pending payment. Nijin, hold for appearance. Prohaska, approve. Sherbert, approved. Summers, approved. Walvich, hold for appearance.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Vouchers and payroll approval. You have before you vouchers numbers 137840 through 138057. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Olson.
Page 8 of the blue document. Go five items down, you'll see that there is no fat in our budget. We are cut to the bone, absolutely, and there's nowhere else for us to cut. Fire department spent $3,500 on painting chevrons on the backs of their fire engines. Now, I'll grant you that it may make them a little bit safer, but I've never heard of a fire engine in the city of Franklin getting rear-ended. Did we need to spend $3,500 this year on the budget and the economy that we're facing?
That'd be a question for the chief.
I agree. I mean, that's a waste of money.
All right. I believe that you can ask for separate action on this item and carve that provision out. Alderman Olson?
Pardon me?
I believe you could carve that provision out if you so chose.
I mean, the only person we would penalize if we carved it out is the vendor to provide the service in good faith.
Okay.
At some point, we're going to have to understand that the economy isn't great. Let's quit spending this money if we don't have to. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mayor.
Alderman Skransky and Alderman Wilhelm.
I agree. That money should have never been spent to start with, and I like to call somebody on the carpet for going ahead and doing that. I mean, that's ridiculous. As we're all going for tight budgets and everything else, and to do that, that's irresponsible. I mean, it isn't like buying a fibrillator. I mean, what the hell?
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I've always thought that we don't spend enough time looking at this document. And I would like to at least have one committee of the whole meeting to go over one of these. I mean, even if we just pulled it randomly out of the last year and looked it over, I think it might be helpful for us just to look at what, you know, things that are being spent. We just, normally these just pass. They pass all the time. This is like, I think, the first question, I think, maybe in the 3 years that I've been up here on one of these documents. And I voted. I've never made a motion or a second because I've always been a little bit uncomfortable about the fact that we really never discussed this, and it's an important part of our budget. And I guess I would like to see it on a committee of the whole agenda.
City Attorney, am I correct that we could ask for that this be carved out?
It's a separate invoice, so it's susceptible to division.
See, Alderman Taylor, Alderman Solomon, Alderman Skransky, Alderman Olson.
Well, I mean, we could carve it out. That's fine. And Alderman Olson's right. They're going to just hurt the vendor. I think what maybe we need to do is, I mean, I guess I would have. Did you talk to the fire chief? I mean, I would have probably done that. I mean, it's good that you brought it to our attention, but I would talk, probably pick up the phone and talk to the fire chief. But it gets down, you know, if we're going to do this, then we got to do it every month. This is, I mean, gets to the point of micromanaging. Are we going to start micromanaging? I mean, we have to ask ourselves that, because I'm sure we could sit here for hours and hours and look at every single line item, and if we're going to be micromanaging, then each of us should be responsible for a department, and then you sit down with them every single month and you go through these things. I mean, that's what we're probably talking about here. You can't just pick one item. I would agree that that's not appropriate, but the person you need to talk to would be the person in charge of that department and say, what the hell are we doing here? He's not here, so I don't know what we're, I mean, I would just adopt it the way it sits, approve it the way it sits, and determine whether or not we want to start micromanaging departments.
Alderman Solomon, Alderman Skransky, Alderman Olson.
I don't go through these every month, but I do occasionally. I'd say probably every other month. Just put on the total and see what we got. I didn't this last weekend because I got my taxes done Sunday. But anyway, you're exactly right. That's why we get these packets on Friday night. And on Saturday or Sunday, when you review them and you just go right down the line and see what it was quoted out to be, make that call on Monday morning. That's why you get the packets ahead of time. I don't think we need to sit down and discuss this stuff all the time. And it does come to micromanaging, because I can remember when somebody else was sitting over on that side of the... Yeah, somebody else was sitting in that chair. And you talk about micromanaging, we'd be here till 1 o'clock every morning. So you've got to be kind of careful. It's got to be, you know, you need some common sense, logic to this, and I appreciate your comments.
Alderman Skransky and Alderman Olson.
Well, I go through these every month. It's just that I was out of town this week, and I had to pick up the package today, and this is the only time I really didn't go through it and look at it.
Yeah.
You know, but I do go through this and look at it, and I really would go back to the department head or whoever approved that to go ahead and spend that kind of money for something that is really not essential. And that's why I would question who's ever supposed to do this, Mark or the mayor, to sit down with that department head, approve that, and went along with it. I'm not big on micromanaging either. I would say the person that's in charge, that's the one you should talk to, because he's the responsible party for that expenditure. If it's in the budget and it was brought up with us ahead of time, shame on us for not catching it at that time. But as far as it goes right now, yeah, I can see where you could put a 35. Oh, you're the guy.
Yeah.
Okay. That $3,500 to something better. I remember there was an alderman sitting up here at budget time, and there was a couple of them. I'm only going to pick this one up. That particular alderman says, well, what does the police department need ammunition for? I mean, that was about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You know, he says, well, you don't need that. What do you need that for? You know, and there was a couple other ones. But, I mean, I go through budgets of my own company, and I look at it and say, yeah, this is going to work. No, that's stupid. Just because we need extra drills, sharpen the damn things. But I guess I have to go along with Alderman Olson on this one and say, nah, I don't think so. I think it's the person that's responsible for that should be sat down with the mayor's done with it.
Yeah. Alderman Olson, are you next?
Yes.
And then Alderman Taylor and Alderman Wilhelm? No, Alderman Wilhelm and then Alderman Taylor.
It's part of our responsibility to look at these numbers. It's our job. We have a fiduciary responsibility to our constituents. If someone perceives it as micromanaging, you know, I got to tell you, I think I'm the only person to ever question anything on the invoices over the last 6 or 9 years. And you'll notice that I don't do it every week. So I'm not micromanaging anything. I'm picking out something that jumped off the damn page and hit me in the face. And when that happens, by God, it's my responsibility to bring it up. So,
that's why his hand is in it.
That's right. Absolutely. So, you know, I have no doubt that the fire chief will come here and justify it to us. But it's up to us to set the guidelines from which he can justify something. And that's why I bring it up. You know, that's why Jack Bennett's not getting his water building this year. It's because somebody raised an issue about the perception of building a building like that. in this economy.
I second that.
This is the same.
Is
there an election tomorrow?
Great.
Yes.
Well,
nobody's here to hear it.
Done.
Right. This is the same exact circumstance. It's like normal circumstances, times are great, no issue, whatever. Times are not good, that was silly. Enough said. I don't want to carve it out because the only person, again, that gets hurt, as Steve and I have both said, is the vendor.
Yeah, why should he get hurt?
Yeah. Thank you.
Alderman Wilhelm. By the way, the clerk is using old I voted stickers just because of the economy is the way it is.
Oh. And I've already volunteered to buy those
off.
Stickers,
we
but I've never
them off people when they laugh.
Send me an invoice.
Alderman Wilhelm and then Alderman Taylor.
Oh, well, I think we're sort of in agreement here that we should just pass this, but I didn't appreciate the kind of turning my comment into looking at this as micromanaging, and I totally agree with what you said, Alderman Olson. It is our responsibility, and I would take offense to the it's micromanaging because that's not was not my intent of saying we should take a closer look at this.
Alderman Taylor.
Actually, Your Honor, this is micromanaging because in 3 years, Alderman Olson's right, you've only been the only one to pick out something. Maybe twice, maybe three times in 3 years that I've sat here, would you tell me it's not micromanaging, it's micro. I mean, you're picking one thing, but you've obviously, by not picking others for 3 years, you've said everything else is okay. So you caught one here. So the other ones you just overlooked, or are you telling me that everything else looked fine? And there's just maybe three in the last 3 years that you caught. That's what I'm saying, micromanaging. It's you're picking, and I don't disagree with you. I think that's asinine that they spend $35 on Chevron stuff. I agree with you 100%, but the reality is in 3 years, this is the third time maybe that this has happened. So how bad of a job are our departments doing? It can't be that bad, because otherwise, I would imagine, and Alderman Skronsky said he looks at it every 2 weeks.
Yeah, but I didn't finish my other comment.
No, but he looks every 2 weeks, and so no one's brought to this body's attention. Now, if you pick up the phone and talk to a department and don't bring it up here, that's one thing, but if it was a major issue or a bunch of them, I would expect it every once a month, every couple months, we have something, but it hasn't been there, so that's what I'm getting micromanaging. This is maybe the third time.
Alderman Skronsky?
Yeah, and that's where I wanted to finish the comment, because when I do find something in there, I don't bring it here. I talk to the department
right.
And they have time.
Right.
Because I had the time to do it. Unfortunately, I didn't have the time this time to do it. Because I would rather have those discussions discussed at the department level,
right.
Not here.
Just one last comment on this. For the sake of getting my head through the door, I think one of the first things I did when I was the mayor was requested permission from the Common Council to review all vouchers.
Yep.
All vouchers.
Yep.
And to look at all checks because they hadn't been looked at prior to that. And I think the council restricted me to items over $5,000. So I just went out. This is $3,495, but I'm not going to make any point about it. Alderman Olson?
I think you misunderstood what the council said. Council said you are required to look at 5,000 over. It didn't restrict you to 5,000.
I think I'll have to look back at the resolution, but I didn't think the council at that time wanted to give me that much authority. Different council.
I'll give you some more.
Okay, are there any basketball fans in the crowd?
Yes.
All right, do we have a motion on the floor? Is there a second? We do have a motion that's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those favors, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. You now have before you the payroll of March 25th, 2011, in the amount of $338,929.46. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved. Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson?
Aye.
Alderman Selma?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Skaransky?
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. On the last one, I don't think
it was not roll call.
Roll
the last
call.
One was not
could
roll
you go
call.
Back and on the vouchers 13784-0 through 138057?
Alderman Skaransky?
I guess I'll have to move an eye on it because it's already.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt? Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Oh, what's your name down there?
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Is there a second motion? Yes. Alderman
what's
Olson.
I've had a tradition of myself that at election time I would offer my best wishes to those who are running opposed races. I do that again tonight. I wish you both well. And should you not be successful, it's been a pleasure.
Okay. There's a motion to adjourn. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have. Motion carries. We are adjourned.